WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks, and we are following two big stories this hour. Israel just announced its delayed hostage deal with Hamas. But first, a dramatic crash at the U.S.-Canada border near Niagara Falls.
Car was coming flying back here, like over 100 miles an hour. We could hardly even see me. It was going that quick. And then it looked like he hit the fence, and this fire started. And then all of a sudden, he went up in the air. And then it was a ball of fire, like 30, 40 feet high.
Two people died, but officials say there's no indication of terrorism.
We just need to dial down the temperature right now.
Governor Hochul speaking at a news conference following a crash at the Rainbow Bridge that leads into Canada.
Just let everybody know, all is well. We're investigating. More information could arise, but based on the preliminary investigation, no sign of terrorist involvement in the horrific explosion that occurred here in Western New York.
She also said the investigation into that crash could take several days. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
It'll be another day before Hamas starts releasing hostages. Here's CBS's Christina Ruffini.
The start of the release will take place according to the original agreement. So that means they're going to follow what they worked out. But now, instead of starting tomorrow, it says it's not going to start before Friday. Now, obviously, this is just happening, so we're not exactly sure why. But it doesn't say that the deal has fallen apart, only that it's getting delayed one day.
Thanksgiving travel starting to pick up at airports and on the road.
Lower gas prices are something to be thankful for as tens of millions travel this Thanksgiving week. Justin Patterson is glad there's less pain at the pump.
This has been ridiculous. You know, gas prices, everything else, and people can barely afford this.
Average gas prices are down about 40 cents a gallon from last Thanksgiving. Jim Crisula, CBS News, along Interstate 40 in Durham, North Carolina.
People in New York are celebrating a pre-holiday tradition today, watching workers blow up giant balloons for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
We're so excited to be here. It's so incredible. It's just another reminder of how vibrant and incredible this city is, and it's a great way to kick off the holiday season.
Trouble in 80s Paradise.
They sang about not going for that. And now Daryl Hall is actually saying to John Oates, yeah, you can't go for that. They're the famous duo Hall and Oates, and now Hall has filed a restraining order against Oates following an alleged breach of contract. The docs are sealed, but the restraining order is set to start next week. They formed Hall and Oates in 1972. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Pro sports leagues are promoting responsible sports betting.
We love the game because anything can happen.
Their new ad insists there is no easy money. It is part of a new campaign with sportsbooks operators to educate people about gambling. This is CBS News.
The holiday season is right around the corner. Give the gift that's hard to wrap, but easy to give. Give them a Steel. Visit your local Steel dealer or go to steelusa.com/gift guide.
Did you know
you can always continue the conversation on social media? Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The opening weekend of Wisconsin's gun deer season was one of the safest on record. Only two people were injured by gunshots, and one of them accidentally shot themselves. Lieutenant Mike Weber heads the Department of Natural Resources hunter education efforts.
That reduction in incidents, I think, is obviously directly related to the work of the hunter education program, and then the people that go through the program really applying what they learned in the program.
92,000 deer were killed last weekend. That's 16% fewer than last year and 10% lower than the five-year average. Flags across Wisconsin are lowered to honor the victims of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, which happened 2 years ago today. A permanent memorial was dedicated in Waukesha yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Bucks are in Beantown. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Celtics tonight at TD Garden. It's the first time the two teams have met since Drew Holiday was traded to Portland and then to Boston in the deal for Damian Lillard. The Bucks' Chris Middleton on facing their former teammate.
It's going to be a big game, you know, against a really good team, against our former teammate, Drew. It's going to be a fun game, hostile environment, of course, but it'd be a great test to see where we are.
NFL football on Thanksgiving, the Dallas Cowboys against the Commanders. Thursday night football, it's the Seahawks hosting the 49ers. The day gets started when the Packers line up against the Lions at 11:30 at Ford Field. Coverage on CBS, Keyshawn Nixon talking about his family's plans for Thanksgiving dinner when he gets back.
My mom's mac and cheese, honey baked ham, turkey, and then, like I always said, my grandma makes this, like, chocolate pudding mousse, white cream frost on it with, like a pecan crust at the bottom. It's all mine.
That's Packers defensive back Keyshawn Nixon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, some clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and colder for Thanksgiving Day, a high in the low 30s. Sunshine at around 30 on Friday, more clouds around in mid-30s for the rest of the holiday weekend. And it looks like the cold temperatures will stick around next week. It's 32 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I will be talking with Dr. Regina Lark, who I could talk to for hours. I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it. On a whole wide range of different topics. She is the author of Psychic Debris, Crowded Closets, which is in its third edition. Psychic Debris and Crowded Closets is about understanding the relationship between the stuff in our head and what's under our bed. The latest edition will also help you unlock the mysteries of managing your relationship with time. Okay, Regina, that sounds fascinating. Not even why I had you here today, but I had to throw it out there because people have got to know that this book exists. What I reached out to you for is you are also the author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. Wow. Isn't that the number one question, right? And you also do the podcast with the same name or similar name, the Emotional Labor Podcast. Is that still, you're still putting out new episodes of that?
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I run across people in articles. I run across people or I read articles that that are authored by people that are just interesting. And so, yeah, we'll just invite them. We'll do an episode. And it's nothing that is, it's not something I have to do every week.
Sure. Great episodes out there. I recommend everyone find that, the Emotional Labor Podcast. And then you are also a productivity consultant and do training for business owners and their teams to increase productivity, manage time, and stop procrastination. To be honest, I am willing to bet that I am missing about 15 other things that you have done or that you're working on. You have on your website, reginalark.com, you have listed as your areas of expertise. And again, I am just saying this because every single one of these bullet points are like, yes, I want to hear about that. I want to learn about that. So I want to know, I want people to know all the things that you've done and talked about, because you sound like just an extreme wealth of knowledge. But you have listed on your website, you are an expert on chronic disorganization, executive functioning and ADHD. Hello, that's me. Hoarding, productivity, psychological connections between clutter and shame, special organization needs for people with ADD, ADHD, and autism, time management, women, emotional labor, mental load, and the workplace, and workplace productivity. Do you sleep? That's my first question. Let's start out. Do you sleep, Regina?
No, I just happen to be one of those individuals who need absolutely no sleep. So,
oh my gosh. And all of those topics are all so fascinating to me. So anyways, welcome. I don't even think I said welcome. Welcome for joining me today. I am so excited to talk to you tonight. Besides the question of, do you sleep though? There are so many things that I would love to talk to you, but like I said, I reached out because I saw your TED Talk on emotional labor, the woman's work that is never done. So I will try my hardest to control my own ADD and focus on this topic alone, because this is what caregivers need to hear. This is huge. However, since you have so much knowledge, can you just kind of walk me through your professional journey, where you started out and what you're working on today? Because you have a lot of expertise in a lot of different areas.
Oh, we don't have much time, Liza.
I know. I was thinking about that. I thought, I'm never going to be able to ask her a question. I'm going to be so focused on everything she's doing and has done.
I always tell people, Google me. I'm proof nothing ever leaves the internet.
Well, you know what? That answer is fair enough. I can take that one. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Regina Lark, who caught my eye on the TED Talk that she did on emotional labor, titled Emotional Labor, The Myth of Women's Work. Regina, what is emotional labor?
Liza, emotional labor was actually a term that was coined in the 1980s by a sociologist whose name is Arlie Hochschild. And she used the term to describe the forced and the forced kindnesses and willingness to be kind on the job. That's not in anybody's job description. So she looked at food servers, and she looked at flight attendants, and she looked at the ways in which those roles were designed not only to do a particular task, take orders, serve food, clean up the dishes. I mean, there's tasks that are absolutely associated with being a food server, but the unmentioned, unwaged, unacknowledged really tasks that food servers and flight attendants exhibited to make those around them feel safe and seen, and you know that their needs were being met. There's sometimes, if you will, a quid pro quo to that. I give you my best service. I treat you as like a member of my family in the good way. And there's probably a nice tip on the other side of that, but it's the unacknowledged. It wasn't in the food service job description. So over the last few decades, journalists, psychologists, sociologists, and others adopted this term, taking it from the outside spaces of food service and the flight attendant industry into the home, because in the home, emotional labor shows up similarly that it does as a flight attendant. You are very you're very much wanting to give love and concern and kindness and tenderness and to be there for the members of your family. It's the invisible work that is done usually by one member of the family, and it's often the women. Women are raised to notice everything around them and what has to be done and how to make those around them feel safe and comfortable, that their needs are met, that there's clean clean clothes and food on the table and all of the things that are really necessary for the running and the functioning of a household. Aside from the physical work, laundry and shopping and all of that, it's the invisible work that I would define as emotional labor.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, emotional labor is caregiver.
But there are some caregivers that are getting paid to give care. Mm-hmm. Emotional labor is invisible, unseen, unnoticed, unacknowledged. It's what a lot of caregivers do, absolutely. But it's often unwaged. It's not in any job description. So you have the job description of caregiver. You're bringing somebody into your home. We work with a lot of the older adults in my company. And so a caregiver is hired, but that's a paid position.
Right. Well, but you know, I a paid position, I'm sure with still a lot of emotional labor, right? They're still making sure.
Absolutely. Yes. But in the context we're talking about,
The family caregiver
also includes the huge long list of the physical properties of household management. Mm-hmm. So it's both invisible and visible, both intangible, like you're thinking about what's coming up next, and very tangible. We're at the grocery store. So it's both.
Yeah. And in your TED talk, you say the physical work, the mental load, the emotional labor for women is never done. Here's a question for you. Why is that not the case for men?
Well, I you know, for good or ill, I have my PhD in women's history. This is how I answer the question. Because I hear that, I get that a lot. Because again, the work of household management, you don't need the only body part you need is your executive functions of the brain. No other body part is required, except for, of course, breastfeeding and pushing a baby out. So right after the American Revolution was fought in the late 1700s here in the US, the founders of the country saying, well, we're gonna be growing this great republic and we've gotta have great leaders. And where are our great leaders gonna come from? And they hemmed and hawed, and one thing led to another. That great leaders come from a well-ordered home. And what historians coin is the term Republican motherhood.
Huh.
And at that moment, the weight of the republic is on her shoulders to produce the next generation of leaders.
Oh, to produce. Okay. All right. I feel like you were starting to lose me when you were saying the weight is on the women. And I thought they thought that back then. No, to produce.
To produce
right?
The next generation of leaders.
Gotcha.
And the leaders have to come from a well-ordered home.
Gotcha. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I am speaking with Dr. Regina Lark, and when we come back, we will learn what it takes within a household to have a happier marriage. So go get your spouses and join us in just a few.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today I am talking with Dr. Regina Lark, author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. She also has the podcast, The Emotional Labor Podcast, which I highly recommend. So, Regina, so many questions, so little time. On your website, I'm going to get to the happy marriage part, but I'm going to stay focused here. I had one question for you before we went into break, and that was, on your website, reginalark.com, you have a list of things that you present on or presented on, and one of the topic was the emotional labor of the perpetual ask. If I've asked you once, I've asked 100 times, and now I'm a nag, right? What is it about the ask that turns, can you please put your cup in the dishwasher, into a full-blown argument? Can you expand on that?
Liza, honestly, I don't get that. It is beyond me why two adults living together with love and shared responsibilities, I don't understand how one person can really ignore the request of another person. Because putting a cup in the dishwasher typically is not an unreasonable request.
You would think, and
it gets requested a lot. And again, I have come to know that, let's say it's women who there's a wife is, honey, can you put your cup in the dishwasher? Cup doesn't go in the dishwasher. Oh, I don't know if I had asked. Yeah, I heard you. You know what I mean? It could become really stupid right away.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I hear within couples is, let me frame this. So it will be important to her to get the kitchen cleaned up right after dinner. So that's a value to her.
Okay.
And it's not a value to the other adult in the house.
I'm following you, like, way more than right. I want to be able to follow you, but I'm right there.
So it's like, how is it that these two people who really love each other, because if it's a value to one person and the other person doesn't care, then make that your value too. Because no harm, no foul. It's nice and neat. It's nice to walk into a clean kitchen in the morning. I mean, those things are nice and they're appreciated, and your day can start off without cussing the person who was supposed to do the dishes. So when it doesn't matter at all, they could care less whether it gets loaded in the morning or or after dinner. If that person could, if the husband could care less, then why don't you care more about how she feels? Then take that over to a more caring economy. Think of being more caring about how your wife feels about putting the cup in the dishwasher. It's no skin off your nose. It doesn't make you any less of a person. Everybody uses cups. Everybody uses the sheets. Everybody uses the towels. This is a, you know, you manage the household together. So,
right.
You know, I'm always so perplexed when I hear put the cup in the dishwasher becomes an argument after a while. And I think, well, what the heck is marriage? I mean, it's like, well, why do people live together if they have arguments about putting cups in the dishwasher? I don't understand that, but I do know that this happens in a lot of homes. And so how do you ameliorate that?
It does. And, you know, we could do a whole show on put your cup in the dishwasher. I think I'm like my wheels are spinning in all sorts of directions right now. One, I said before we went into commercial break, go get your spouses. And why the heck didn't I get mine? Because he needs to be hearing this. And two, I'm thinking about this because this is a fight that's gone on in our house. I've been married for 21 years, a bazillion times. And I'm trying to think of what the pushback is. And I kind of think of it. And I'm kind of determining at the same time, do I even want to go there? But I'll let you just touch on it. Okay, you said, if I value a clean kitchen and I ask my husband to help me tidy up the kitchen and he says, no, I don't care if it's clean or not. And I say, well, it's a value to me. So if you love me, then...
No, I wouldn't put a qualifier on it.
Thank you.
I think we have to have real and loving and kind and open and transparent communication with each other. It's asking a husband being able to ask his wife, I want to hear more about that. Why is that a value? Tell me more about that. I mean, having these loving, kind, open communications. Also, the other thing I heard you say is he's helping you tidying up. We're not talking about help. We're not talking about tidying. We want someone to take ownership of cleaning the kitchen after dinner.
Mm, thank you.
So there's that too.
No, I need this. I need you a lot. Like, trust me, I need you. So, okay. I'm also thinking, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I feel like if I'm thinking of it, there's got to be other people listening, thinking of it too. Right. And that is, what if I get from my husband, well, don't try to make your values my values. What do you say to that?
Honestly, I don't know what kind of conversations you've had before this. I don't know why he would even question it. I really don't. It's like, this is something I value. I want to help you understand why I value it. I want us to be harmonious. I also don't want to be the person that's doing all this damn work because it's a lot of work. One quick and dirty experiment that couples who are really struggling with this, go into separate rooms and write down everything you each do in the house, everything. And then in loving and gentle and kind tones, compare lists. See what can be off, see what could be taken off the list. See what could be moved to another list. And if you can't do this with love and kindness, do it in front of a good mental health professional.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what? I still have so many more questions. Do you have a few minutes to stick around?
Sure.
All right, because we still didn't get to the creating happy marriage and what your advice is there. And that works out perfect because it now gives me enough time to go get my husband. So the whole family will be back to hear you in just a few minutes.
Oh, dear.
Now 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The FBI is investigating a vehicle explosion at the U.S.-Canada Rainbow Bridge. Two people in the car died. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says there's no sign it was terrorism.
This vehicle basically incinerated. Nothing is left but the engine. The pieces are scattered over 13, 14 booths.
Israel approves a four-day ceasefire, but now says a hostage exchange won't take place before Friday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu through an interpreter.
I just spoke to President Biden, and I thanked him for having worked so hard with all the mediators in order to find a kind of improvement of whatever the outline was.
Millions hit the road, rails, and skies this Thanksgiving in California.
It took me an hour and 45 minutes to do 8 miles. I mean, that's crazy.
I'm excited to be able to see the trees and see some different colored leaves and, you know, just annoy my family, right? I mean...
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin officials are confirming the latest case of bird flu in the state. The Department of Agriculture says more than 51,000 chickens at a poultry farm in Trempealeau County were euthanized to try to contain the virus. 5 birds were infected in a backyard flock in Taylor County earlier this year. Good government groups are urging the public to pay attention to how the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules on a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Justices heard oral arguments yesterday. Nick Ramos is with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
If we're throwing out the maps and drawing new maps, then it sounds like everybody is going to be up for election.
Assembly district borders have to be in place by March 15th for next November's elections. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, some clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and colder for Thanksgiving Day, a high in the low 30s. Sunshine at around 30 on Friday, more clouds around and mid-30s for the rest of the holiday weekend. And it looks like the cold temperatures will stick around next week. Currently 35 degrees.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1960. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I am talking with Dr. Regina Lark, author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done, and What to Do About It. So, two more questions for you that I just can't let you leave without asking. So in one of your podcasts, you said something to the effect, if there was more gender equity in marriages, there would be less divorce. Regina, I know as obvious as the statement sounds, there's going to be some pushback from men saying, hell no, more housework is not what's going to make my marriage better. And I'm also willing to bet that there are some women out there who are thinking, oh man, if I had to deal with my husband being part of managing the house and kids, that's going to drive me to drink. So can you explain this concept to the skeptics? Because I absolutely agree with you.
If a wife doesn't want her husband's hands on household management, who cares? I don't know. If she doesn't want him, again, if this is not a problem in the marriage, then don't rock the boat. If he doesn't want, if she has expressed a desire to create more equity at home, if that is something that she wants to do for whatever reason, either to advance herself professionally or to have more downtime, it really doesn't matter. If she wants to share household management, then I want her husband to want that too.
That's good. And you know, I had to think about this again a little bit. My wheels are spinning in all sorts of directions. That for me, I'll use myself as an example. When I make that statement, oh man, getting my husband involved in all of this, that seems like a nightmare. That seems like a bad, bad, bad idea. It's not that I don't want the help. Here's where I'm stuck at. My identity is tied up in doing this. Yeah. So what do you have to say when a sorry soul like myself sits down in your chair?
I would encourage you to reevaluate identity. What does it mean to, what does that mean? Because here I would be hearing two things. One, you really want to share the burden of household management. So clearly it's not tied to every particle of your identity, because you have the thought who want to share it.
Right. I mean, I think that goes back to just like the generations of programming. It's not that I like to do laundry. I just had an argument with my son the other day, my 17-year-old son, about laundry, and I said, can you make the connection between me giving birth to you and me liking to do your laundry? Because I'm not getting it here. But wow. I think it's that generations of, right, this is what women do, this quote unquote woman's work. So when I'm handing it over to my husband, sometimes I struggle with that because I feel like, oh, that's my, I need to be making the birthday cake. I need to be doing this. And I'm not saying it's right. Like, I messed up, Regina. I need your help to save me, because it's not right. It's no, my husband should be doing half of this stuff, right?
Well, but again, it doesn't come out of a void. There's got to be a family conversation about this. when you write down all the things that each person is doing in the household, we've got to make the invisible work of household labor visible.
Right.
We have to. We have to help our family. I mean, again, I'm so tired of saying women have to help families. Women have to help men understand this. I get tired of saying that because it's like, come on, we're adults. If right. you see struggle, step in and partner with your spouse. I see. So I don't, you know, on the one hand, is it our responsibility to teach them what they need to do to partner with us? Or do we just send them into therapy and say, go learn how to partner with me? I mean, I don't know what those solutions are. I know that there's got to be conversation. I know that there's got to be love. I know that we have to make the invisible work of household management visible well, as we can.
And, you know, good question. Do you send them off to therapy? Do you teach them yourself? I would say this, and this is where, you know, I am learning and growing as we speak. I didn't realize this would turn into such a therapy session, but it's probably why I've been so darn excited to talk to you for so long, is we also need to be teaching our children, and I have two boys, and we need to be raising our boys in such a fashion that that this isn't a conversation, a battleground. You know what I mean? It's kind of, they go into relationships with it being a given.
Yeah.
So lesson learned. I'm learning so much.
This is setting your son up for real life.
Oh.
And you know, he you know, women, it's... There's so much to say about
this. I know, right? I know. And if my husband thinks that his wife is going to do his laundry forever, good luck. Good luck with that, pal. You know what? I could stay on this topic forever, but I've got some more guests that I am waiting to speak with. And I have one last question. Again, super huge question, 2 minutes to answer it. Good luck. But I just want to shift gears a little bit because November is National Family Caregivers Month. And each year, a new theme is created. This year's theme is hashtag Caregivers Connect. This theme focuses on the importance of caregivers staying connected. I say this myself frequently, you know, caregivers really need a tribe for their own emotional well-being. And under your past presentations on your website, you have listed a presentation that you did, Uplift and Elevate, Reimagining the Sisterhood. And the description says, women's bodies and brains are being crushed by the weight of emotional labor. And we think we're the only ones experiencing the heaviness of it all. Regina makes the case for reimagining our sisterhood and why developing these relationships can be so damn powerful. Wow. I love the sound of that. Can you tell me a little bit more?
I truly believe that women ought to be each other's greatest cheerleaders and supporters. I think that we live with a historical myth that we're in competition with each other, and we are not. We understand, we communicate. I talk to a lot of women who are raising children on their own. And some of them don't have any family support around them. So I encourage them to create their own sisterhood, connect with other women in their situations, learn how to barter with each other, buy houses together, you know, live more communally with each other instead of siloed. And feeling like we're really alone in doing this. We are alone when we're by ourselves doing all the work of household management and caregiving and the myriad tasks that go along with that. So in the 1950s, it sounds kind of silly, but women got together every afternoon for coffee clatches. Now, I'm sure that there was vodka involved also, but It was connection and togetherness and getting away from the isolation of household management. right? Because we still, you know, we continue to call it women's work for some reason. And I think that's where husbands kind of get stuck, because they weren't raised to notice what women are raised to notice. They just weren't. I think where I get kind of pushed is if she says it more than once, how is it that that doesn't become part of how they now do things? You know, if she's expressed anything beyond let's partner with this and he doesn't follow suit, that's the part I don't get.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things that we aren't taught. We're not taught gender equity. At least we should be instilling it a lot more. We're not taught on how to have successful, easy for me to say, relationships. I mean, there's so many things that should be taught in schools, but yet another topic that we could spend hours on. But I want to thank you, Regina. Personally, you've helped me, and you've raised my level of awareness. You helped me point out some things that I need to do to raise sons that get this out of the gate. And there's just so much more that I could talk to you about. And I hope that I can have you on again in the future.
Sure. Thank you for letting me join you today.
Yes. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Okay. And, back at you. Yeah.
All right. Take care. And next, we are going to be joined with Chaos Riddle. And Chaos, who did you bring with me? Who did you bring with you? I'm sorry.
It's just me tonight.
Just you. Okay. Sounds good. You probably missed the beginning of the show, but I was saying that I'm actually doing this from our cabin up north. So I'm having kids walk in front of me. I'm having a dog saying, why haven't you fed me? What is wrong with you? So a lot of distraction going on. But thank you for hanging in there with me. I thought it would be something that you might be interested in hearing. I don't know you at all, but what do you think? What did you think about what Regina had to say?
When she was talking about how women need to come together, boost each other up, support each other, I wholeheartedly agree. I worked for the city for 24 years in a pretty much male dominant job. And the few women that were there, we definitely supported each other. And whenever a new woman would come into the job, we would let her know, you know, you come to us if you have problems, we'll help you. We'll help you take care of it. If it means the guy's got to go to the landfill. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, and it was such a good setup for having you on next. And I don't even think I said why you were here, but you are here for women helping women and their families and their children. And you are Chaos Riddle from Santas Without Chimneys. Can you tell me a little bit more about your organization, how people can get involved, and what it is that you do when we come back in just a few moments?
Sure.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mulk. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
This is the Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, doing a live show today from our cabin right outside of Plainfield, Wisconsin, the wonderful home of Ed Gein. On that note, let's just switch gears to something much more meaningful. I have with me right now Cass Riddle, who runs, is that fair to say? Are you in charge of Santas Without Chimneys?
Oh, well, for the most part, yes.
Okay. Tell us more about it and how people can get involved.
Well, if we're going to do that, you're going to get a little tour as I speak. We are as roofless as our children. We never have any idea of where we're going to be. So this year, I was actually concerned. And if you ever heard of Occupy Madison and the tiny homes?
Yes.
That's where this stemmed from. And okay. I went back to them, and they have a third village site, or this will be the third village site. And so they gave us the space for this year. So up on this wall, you're going to see a ring, a paper chain, well, after the boxes,
sure.
Pretty festive looking. And it just keeps going and going. So each single ring represents one homeless child in the Madison schools. Now, that's not including their siblings that may not be in school. You can see it just wraps and goes and goes and goes.
So Chaos, so those that aren't watching on live, and even myself, I'm watching you as you give me this virtual tour of these rings, and they go on and on. You're right, I can't even wrap my head around it. How many are we talking? Do you have some kind of number? Over 1,000 homeless children within the city of Madison. Do I have that correct?
Yes. We have 15. It could keep going, but I'll stop.
Okay. And what do you do to help them? And what can we do to help them?
So what we do is we work with TEP, which is the Transitional Educational Program. They are the social workers in the schools. They pretty much figure out which children are roofless. We prefer to say highly mobile or roofless. And they find out whether these kids are going to get anything at all for Christmas. So these are kids that are going to get nothing. Their parents were not able to make it to Toys for Tots. They've outgrown Toys for Tots, various things like that. So what we do is we find out their three wishes. We try to fulfill all three wishes. It's not always possible. They're wishes. Sometimes they're asking for the moon. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Teens are the hardest to shop for. So we do take teens, and a lot of them are what we call unaccompanied. So they're on their own. Mm-hmm. It may be for gender reasons. It may be, who knows? There's all different kinds of reasons why they may be on their own. We kind of really want to get them on the right foot. So we will package things a little bit different. but they still get three gifts. We try to throw more like food cards at them, things like that. Every child gets a brand new blanket. Thank you, Penzies. Every child gets books from Madison Reading Project. And we wrap and we deliver with Santas. How other people can help. So we always need help. Sponsor a kid. Go to our website, which is santaswithoutchimneys.org. You can find us on Facebook. If you can sponsor at least one kid and get one wish, you've helped us out. We have drop boxes all over the city. You can drop just various items in there. And then if a kid doesn't get sponsored, we shop off our shelves.
If you like to wrap,
come in and wrap. If you like to organize, come in and organize. We got something for everybody here.
All right. So if money is tight for yourself, but you want to get involved, there are other ways to get involved. We're going to run up on time. I have one more person that wants to speak, and I apologize that I had to cut you short as I was finishing up with Regina, but I want you to get the website out there one more time. And I encourage everyone from around the state to go to the website. I've got to assume that you can just make a financial donation on the website if you're listening way up at the tip top of the state.
Yep. 100% volunteers. Nobody's paid. Almost all the money goes right back to the kids, and that's santaswithoutchimneys.com or .org.
.org. santaswithoutchimneys.org. I will make sure to get that up on my social media as well as all of civic media so we can get this out to the entire state. Thank you so much for joining me today and for the awesome, amazing work that you do.
Thank you for having us on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Take care.
You
and
too.
Next, we have just a minute to go, so I'm going to set my next guest up for my next show, and I'm going to drag him by his ear to come back and join me next week, and I can absolutely do that because I'm his mom. So, Caden, I want you to let everyone know what you are going to be talking about next week, because what I wanted you to talk about today, we're going to run out of time. So let listeners know where you go to school, and then, we'll start with there. Where do you go to school, Caden? Where do you go to school?
I go to Edgewood College.
You go to Edgewood College. And so what I did is I reached out to Edgewood College and I said, November is National Family Caregivers Month. You go to a program at Edgewood called the Cutting Edge Program. It is for students with disabilities. And so all of those students have caretakers, caregivers in their life, most likely people that will always be there to support them in some little way. I know that you're all learning to live independently. That's why we have you go there and make friendships and learn how to live on your own. But there are people that help you, your parents. So what I asked is for the students at Cutting Edge Program, if they could write a thank you letter, a thank you note to their mom or dad or whoever it is that takes care of them. And they did. And we've got some really amazing responses. And I asked Caden, since he goes to Edgewood and since he knows these people, to read these thank yous, these shout outs to parents. And I went and talked too darn much and I ran out of time. So I am going to have you join me next week to read these off. But you have 2 seconds. What's the best thing about your mom?
The best thing about my mom is that she looks after me and she's pushing me to be independent, and she's
awesome.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.